A few of them. So we're just probably going to say them all together. What number is that one? 24?
24
is 31. Okay. 24 is 31. Okay, let's go do it together, I guess. Tam sam pravishtau vasudeva mandanau vritau vavyasar naradeva varmana drashtum samiyus varitap purastriyo hamyani chayvara ruhur nipokshukaha. Translation. The women of Mathura hurriedly assembled and went forward to see the two sons of Vasudeva as they entered the city on the king's road, surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Some of the women, my dear king, eagerly climbed to the roofs of their houses to see them. Text 25. Kaschid dipaya pitavasa bhushan vismit chaitam yudalesha kapa pitaita patra shavanaika nupura nukitaita Translation. Some of the ladies put their clothes and ornaments on backwards, others forgot one of their earrings or ankle bells, and others applied makeup to one eye but not the other. Little teeny purport here. The ladies were very eager to see Krishna, and in their haste and excitement, they forgot themselves. Text 26. Snanta ekas karapasya sotsava abhyajamanu pritagomagajana Sapata utaya nishanya nishanam prapapayanto vibham apoyamatara. Translation. Those who were taking their meals abandoned them. Others went out without finishing their baths or massages. Women who were sleeping at once arose from when they heard the commotion, and mothers breastfeeding their infants simply put them aside. Manam Shitasham Aravinda Lochana Pragalba Vila Hastivalokai Jahara Mata Vyadendra Vikramo Trisham Tadastri Ramanata Marasavam. Translation. The lotus-eyed lord, smiling as he recalled his bold pastimes, captivated those ladies' minds with his glances. He walked at the gate of a lordly elephant and rut, creating a festival for their eyes with his transcendental body, which is a source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy, and as their bodily hair stood on end, O subdue enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence. Text 29. Pasara vichaka rudha priti utpula mukham bhaja abhya varshan somanasai pramana bala krishna. Their lotus faces blooming with affection, the ladies who had climbed to the roofs of the mansions rained down showers of flowers upon Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. Brahmana, standing along the way, honored the two lords with presentations of yogurt, unbroken barley corns, pots full of water, garlands, fragrant substances such as sandalwood paste, and other items of worship.
Yeah.
Women of Mathura exclaimed, "Oh, what severe austerities the gopis must have performed to be able to regularly see Krishna and Balaram, who are the greatest source of pleasure for all mankind." So I think we stop there. So there's really no purports, so I guess I can talk about anything I want. Anyway, here we are at the beginning of some wonderful pastimes that were all very, very dear to us. And we can just picture these two young boys all dressed very nicely walking into this big city. Here they are from kind of country kids walking in to a big city and at the grandeur and looking all around. It's just the beginning of them actually rocking the city with a lot of menace and different pranks that they pull in this city. And so now the ladies, they've heard of Krishna Balaram's kind of mischievous and menacing activities in Vrindavan, previously killing so many demons and actually becoming like their hero, hearing about how beautiful they are. And now the fruit is come. They're actually getting to see Krishna and Balaram. And so already the city is all excited on their presence. And so in the future we'll see what disruption unfolds. But it's amazing here to see that these ladies had just heard about the activities of Krishna and it became so much in anticipation to see them. Just by hearing the pastimes, even though he didn't live very far away, I guess they didn't associate much together with Vrindavan, between Vrindavan and Mathura, but they heard all these wonderful pastimes and their hearts were actually already sold out to Krishna Balaram. It's described that the reason really why Krishna appears in the material world is to actually manifest how one can actually take part in different loving affairs with Krishna. And here we see that these ladies of Mathura, they have a little bit different part and different loving affair than the gopis. The gopis, they love to get chastised by Krishna. They love to get teased like anything by Krishna. And they're always running out trying to, you know, sneak out at night and be with him. So it's kind of a familiar, intimate relationship. And now Krishna's entering the city, and the ladies and women they're making their way up to the tops of the big mansions and palaces and just looking down on Krishna. They're not really mingling amongst the town folk, the city folk downstairs, but they're internally, their ecstasies, as we are hearing here, are very similar to the ecstasies that the gopis experience. Their hairs are standing on end, they're forgetting themselves, they're forgetting to dress themselves properly, they're putting the babies apart, just like we just recently heard about the gopis just, you know, nursing their babies, putting them down on the side and run off to the forest to see Krishna for the rasa dance. A little bit strange for us to imagine such a thing. But although externally different, the atmosphere is different here, the relationship's different, but the ecstasy, that satisfaction of just that relationship of Krishna is giving them that internal ecstasy and pleasure that we're all really looking for. And so here at Krishna Balaram, Krishna's got that gait of an elephant. I can't imagine exactly what that is, but after being in Mayapur recently, you could see them as they go around the park there on Saturday nights. So it's, they look very noble, walking around big old steps. Actually, one person almost got crushed when I was there because they couldn't get away from the side of the wall and they were coming over. It was kind of scary. But anyway, this is, you know, their hero walking into town, Krishna Balaram, coming to actually save them from this horrible King Kamsa. So then we can see that this is like a transcendental, customized a loving relationship. Each person has something very, very personalized, and Krishna is arranging that all just because he has that individual relationship with us eternally. So it's a very special thing and very nicely shown here in this these verses. Even the ladies are saying, boy, I can't imagine what the gopis have done. They get to be with Krishna all the time. Here we're just getting to see Krishna. We're so happy. But what austerities did they perform, getting to be with him all the time? So some of the symptoms that they are showing is that they forgot themselves. How many of you forgot yourself today? No. During japa, what did you think about? All the things you have to do, and probably before you came, what am I going to wear, and all the different, you know, things that are going on in your life and your problems and everything. Just within these few hours that we've been awake, we didn't forget ourselves. I know I didn't forget myself, you know, going through so many different things. But they actually forgot themselves, a little bit on the crazy side. And also that they gave their hearts. They drank Krishna through their eyes and brought them to their heart. And actually, they gave their hearts to Krishna, even just upon hearing about Krishna. And this is a little inconceivable for us also to realize that could happen. But if for some of us in the room, we can remember back, if we can still remember, back 50 years ago, there was something called the Beatlemania, where people actually, the crowds were actually forgot themselves. They actually went crazy. They went nuts, berserko, hair standing on end. And it really was, you know, people couldn't figure it out. And my mother was like, what's going on? And even the news would have pictures of them trying to, you know, protect the Beatles from all these girls that were like tearing their clothes off and, you know, about ready to kill them practically just to gaze at them and to, you know, drink them through their eyes. I don't know. Anyway, it was crazy. And still today they're perplexed. What was this craziness that happened to these people over these four, I don't know, however many people there were in the Beatles? So it is possible, but it's totally perverted reflection. These little girls, you know, teenage girls were thinking that I'm going to have a relationship with this person. But of course, you know, they've grown up now, no relationship with the Beatles anymore. They, you know, grew up and became a little bit more mature and realized the foolishness and the absurdity to think that they could have some kind of a relationship with the Beatles. And this is dissatisfaction, very unhappy, I'm sure, that they never manifest. So this is perverted reflection. They didn't have that relationship, although they went crazy. But these relationships are eternal, and we can become crazy for Krishna. And this is the perfection of our lives. Some say that we are actually crazy. I know many of our parents had a really hard time. You know, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're mad. What? I remember calling up from, I guess I was in Boulder, Colorado, calling my parents. Oh, you don't understand. I've found the absolute truth. You just don't understand. It's, and they're like, come home. You know, what's going on? You know. So, and still, even to this day, I don't think they can figure out why I'm so crazy about Krishna consciousness. You know, but still, we understand that. We were crazy. Even Srila Prabhupada said that, yes, these boys have become crazy, become mad after Krishna. You know, they didn't even care for God before, but now they're mad after Krishna. So this is because it's our natural position. It's our natural relationship to be with Krishna 24/7. And, of course, we experienced a relief from all the material distress and anxiety that we had, not knowing who we were, not knowing why we're in this crazy material world with so much going on that we couldn't control. So that relief, that was, you know, it was a reason for craziness, for happiness. And even just, I know that sometimes I've hidden things from myself, I couldn't find them, and all of a sudden I found them, and it was like, wow, ecstasy, you know, I found this $100 bill I'd hidden in a book somewhere, you know. And so we found the absolute truth. We found Krishna, how ecstatic we were, and we still are, every day, thinking, wow, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm not out there in the material world. That's what's great about doing Sankirtan, is you go out there and you come home and think, oh my, thank Krishna, you know, that I'm not out there running around after my senses. So there's good reason why we should be mad after Krishna. Some of the nice things in these translations are describing how they celebrated, kind of, you know, with Krishna Balaram coming in there throwing flowers. This is a big thing, you know. We love to throw flowers. When Prabhupada come, we get way up on top of the in LA, way up on top of where the balcony is now, and throw flowers down in Prabhupada. And at the airport, we'd throw flowers everywhere, all over the whole airport, big streams of them, lines of them everywhere. I don't know who cleaned it all up. We didn't. I don't know who did. We even would bring our dogs in there sometimes. I remember dogs were in the airport. But this is also the demigods. We hear of them coming and showering flowers. They probably also were throwing a few up there too, seeing Krishna Bala enter the city. And we also see how beautiful the ladies are. Now the demigods don't come here. They don't come throw flowers. They don't even pass urine here, they said. They didn't bother to come to do that. And the ladies here in the material world, compared to the demigods' beauty, is compared like that of frogs. So, you know, it's not the greatest place in the world anymore. But still, we can steal some flowers or buy a few flowers and throw them, you know, every once in a while, whatever we can afford, and try to do that transcendental art of worshiping Krishna in our own little meager way. Can't wait to get back where there's unlimited flowers and we can throw flowers all the time. It'd be great. But it's a beautiful sight. And we're able to enjoy this sight, to enjoy these purports. Why? Because we've broken down our unfaith of, you know, that this is just mythology. It's just another story, some Vedic story, some wild thing. But our faith is very strong. We no longer doubt that these, you know, things are actually going on, that Krishna and Balaram were in Mathura, although it doesn't look like a grand place these days, but we can know that it was at one time, and that all these pastimes are eternally going on somewhere. So we're actually able to enter that atmosphere because of our faith in these scriptures. And therefore, we're enjoying these pastimes like anything. Even though we've heard them so many times, again and again, we hear them and relish them. And try to picture it in our mind, Krishna Balaram entering Mathura and just thinking about, okay, what are we going to do here in this city? I'm not real sure exactly how much association these Mathura ladies had with Krishna. I mean, here they are having a moment's association. They probably went to the wrestling match. Wrestling was pretty popular. Even women, that's an art of in the spiritual world, women actually would wrestle too. So they probably went and saw that wrestling match. But then after that, you know, then Krishna Balaram, after they killed Kamsa, they went off to school, and then they came back, and then they had to deal with Jarasand in that whole scene. And then it got so intense with Jarasand that in the middle of the night, what did Krishna do? He just took everyone in Mathura and sent in the mystic travel to Dwarka, to the city. So supposedly Krishna had to stay there quite a while to finish off, you know, Jarasand, to make it a nice place again. So I don't know in Mathura if these ladies still had association with Krishna, probably in the same way of a distance, because of course he had queens from all Narakasuras, ladies that were in distress. So I guess this was their relationship, but surely they were very satisfied. And we hear about this, you know, drinking Krishna's beauty through their eyes and taking them to the heart. And this is actually a meditation that we can also do, that we can memorize what the deities have on every day. We can look at them deeply. And take it within our hearts, like take a photograph and store it in our hearts so during the day we can remember, reflect, do I remember what they had on, what color they had on today, how they looked, what was something spectacular today that the pujaris did for the deities. And it can become a meditation. Someone just sent me some TED talk about memorization, and I'm a really lousy memorizer. That's why I never say verses, because I don't know any verses by heart. I can't memorize anything. But I looked at it, trying to get some ideas how to memorize, and it was pretty amazing how this person, he was just a journalist, and he was told he wanted to go to one of these memorization competitions, and he went there, and he was so awesome. Struck by how these people could memorize stacks of cards, like 30 stacks of cards within a few minutes. They could memorize the order of all the stacks of cards, all of them. And then they would have sheets of paper, big sheets of paper with just one and zero in little groups. And they would all in different orders, just one and zero. And they could memorize a whole sheet of paper and say exactly the order of all the ones and zeros. And this guy got so into it, he interviewed some of the people, and he ended up becoming one of those persons, saying that it's not, they're not special people, you just have to learn this art. So anyway, I didn't get too much out of it, except that I was awestruck how that person could do that. So, but anyway, yeah, the trick is that you think of something far out of your head that will make you think of it. But anyway, but at the end of the talk, the person goes, you know, it's not memorizing all these things, but he says actually memorizing people's faces and their names is something will actually make you a better person, to actually have more friends. And it actually ended up on a good transcendental note, and I kind of relayed that to memorizing, you know, Radha and Krishna's appearance and pastimes like this. The more we hear it, the more we memorize it, and it'll come. It'll come within our hearts. It'll manifest in our hearts, and this is how we have self-realization. We actually have to realize that there is no such thing as self-realization without realizing Krishna. So all these other, you know, concocted ways of how to become a self-realized soul are impossible, because we're part of Krishna. You can't realize yourself without realizing Krishna. So we really need to explain that to people, that they really need to become Krishna conscious. But in our hearts, it's a very busy place. Even physically, we know how even Srila Prabhupada was told by the doctor, yeah, you're, after that first incident in New York when he was having, I guess he had some kind of a heart attack or something like that. And the doctor came and he said, your Swami, he just chants too much. And the devotee said, oh my gosh, you know. But he said, and Prabhupada said, actually, yes, I need to get out there and I need to walk. I need to get some exercise. And so that began his morning walks every day. Physically, we have to keep our hearts together, but spiritually, we have to keep it together. And memorizing Krishna's pastimes and his beauty and different verses about Krishna, this will help us to keep our hearts very busy in Krishna consciousness. And this also in keeping busy in Krishna's service, always thinking, well, what am I going to do next for Krishna? What project do I have next for Krishna? Will keep us very healthy spiritually and materially. And then we can massage our heart with bhajan and kirtan. And then we can also stimulate our heart. I find the most stimulating thing is preaching about Krishna. Just even that the last weekend, although there weren't so many people there, but every person that came by, there was something stimulating to hear and to talk to them, discuss about Krishna. It keeps you very much alive in Krishna consciousness. So we should realize that this bhakti is an active meditation. It's so wonderful. It's, you know, we aren't people in this age that can just sit down and meditate for half hour, an hour, you know, even 15 minutes, it's hard to sit still. But we can do so many things for Krishna and somehow or other become so attracted to Krishna that we will never forget him. There's a wonderful song, it's Mama Mandare, and it talks about the heart, the temple of the heart. It says, please abide in the temple of my heart both day and night, O Krishna Murari, O Shri Krishna Murari. Devotion, love, flower garlands, and sandalwood, please accept, oh please accept them, delighter of the heart. In life or in death, I worship you with these offerings, beautiful one, O enchanter of the heart. Come, son of Nanda, and then, O son of Nanda, I will offer you artik ceremony with the lamplight of my love. The waters of the Jamuna River cascade incessantly from my eyes in your separation, O holder of Govardhan Hill. May I pass my life absorbed only in songs of your praise, O Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari. So this is how we should make our heart. It should be a temple with all kinds of things going on in our heart for Krishna, and begging Krishna Murari to come in them. Of course, this chanting is the most important thing that we have to do. Because if we chant enough purely, then if we get swallowed up by the holy name, really just swallowed up, then what happens is that all our desires, they get swallowed up too. So much so that even the subtle desires are gone. And so that at the time of death, Maya has nothing left. She can't find anything left, no, nothing subtle even, to be able to make another body for us to have to go into again. So we have to make sure that we're completely smothered with the holy name so that all these desires go away, and that we're just completely absorbed in Krishna. So this Krishna Kirtan is the recommended way. And we have so many opportunities coming up. There's always the Harinam on Fridays. There's these nice Ratha Yatras, and there's Sadhu Sangha coming up. So many ways to get absorbed. And Kirtan's becoming a big thing now. It's like an over-the-counter product. You can get it anywhere, practically. Everyone's advertising Kirtan. But this product, this Krishna Kirtan, is not a cheap product. It has to be an authorized Kirtan, like Prabhupada says, from the lips of the pure devotee. So make sure that we're giving this proper kirtan, this proper medicine, and that we take the dosage regularly, and then it will have very quick effect. Unlike some of the other kirtans, you know, they're okay, they're purifying, but this kirtan from the lips of Srila Prabhupada that we've received from Lord Chaitanya has the greatest effect, and then there won't be any relapse. We see other people doing kirtan, and then they go back to the nonsense on the weekend. The next day, they're doing drugs or whatever. But our kirtan has the greatest effect, and we have to make sure to keep it pure and to take it regularly and to deliver it also in a pure manner so that it can affect the whole world. I have a little project over here, which I have to go to in a few minutes, is this cob making on the wall. And it's a nice community event where people can come and you can discuss different things. And I was with a couple of devotees the other day, and we had a nice chance to talk about Krishna conscious things, and it came up about the effects of kirtan and the amazing effects that Prabhupada's, you know, Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement has had in this world. It's amazing. You go all over the world and now kirtan is being held, even in countries where they don't even have a word for God. God has never been in consideration in their life, in their culture at all. But now they're becoming mad, like these women in Mathura. They're coming mad after Krishna. That's the effects of this kirtan. The people without God now are mad after God in the most remote parts of the world, all over the world, every continent. So it's very important that we keep this chanting going, this kirtan going. And we have to keep the chanting very pure, offenselessly. Prabhupada said that it'll have the most effect when you don't commit offenses. So therefore we have to remember that every day we should work on this in our heart, not to commit any offenses. There's one other nice bhajan, I just want to read the translation to it. It's one of my favorite. And it's about this chanting of the holy name and the effects it can have. Very, very apropos for what we're discussing here. Please tell me, when will that day be mine, when my offenses will end and a taste for that pure holy name will be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace? In other words, Srila Prabhupada. Considering myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing the quality of forbearance into my heart, showing respect to all, myself being freed from all false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name? This kind of goes along with the Shashatkam prayers. wealth following, beautiful women as described in worldly poetry. I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Lord Gauri, please give me unmotivated devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. When will articulating the divine name of Sri Krishna will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture and my words be choked with emotion? When will pallor and ecstatic trembling occur? And when will streams of tears flow constantly from my eyes? So here's being stressed that we have to articulate the holy name very clearly. It's so important to do that. When in the land of Navadvipa, on the banks of the Ganges, will I run about guilelessly calling, O Gaur, O Nityananda, dancing and singing like a madman, giving up all considerations? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and release me from the illusions of worldliness, giving me the shade of his lotus feet? When will he allow me to enter the marketplace of the holy name? I shall buy and plunder the mellows of the name of Hari and become thoroughly intoxicated by those liquid mellows of the holy name. I shall become stunned. By touching the feet of those great souls who are able to relish those mellows, I will be constantly immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name. When will there be an awakening of compassion for all fallen souls? And when will this Bhaktivinoda, forgetting his own happiness with a mere heart, set out to propagate by humbly entreaty the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So yes, we want to become intoxicated. We want to become mad after Krishna. And I don't know, have any of you ever been intoxicated before? Maybe some of us might remember those days. And what happens is you wake up sometimes afterwards and you realize you've done things you've never done, never have done if you were in a proper state of mind. And most of the time you lament that you did those things. But what it does is intoxication breaks down your inhibitions. Yes. And that's what this holy name can do. It can break down all the different doubts we have. It can break down our false ego. It can break down the absurdity of the material world that it now no longer makes any sense. And you can actually become intoxicated by the holy name. So much so that you will run around and be begging for the mercy of Lord Nityananda to be able to get that nectar of the holy name. So this is the state that we would hope someday to be in. So we have to beg the acharyas and the pure devotees that do have that clear channel. It is broken down, and that pure channel that the holy name can go and enter their hearts and take effects, great effects, and so that we can realize who we really are. Pray to them that we can also have that clear channel and be able, when we have that ecstatic realization of the holy name, that it is non-divine Krishna, that we can go out there and also take part in giving out this sacred order of Lord Chaitanya, of going and giving it to everybody and have that satisfaction that maybe in this lifetime we can do a little something for Lord Chaitanya and maybe help other people realize the importance of becoming mad after Krishna in this lifetime. So maybe someone else would like to add something or have any questions? Something quick? Manamati.
Mm-hmm. I was just remembering that my mother was visiting LA. So in the morning time we were like, I don't
see it's on now.
Oh, okay. I was remembering that we were going for greeting the deities there. She was there for some time, and so every day in the morning we would go for greeting the deities. All the devotees would come from their apartments and be running to see Rukmini Dwarkadish. So she said to me, she said, oh, I love this place. It seems like as if all the queens of Dwarka are going to go and see Dwarkadish.
Yeah, that's the mood of New Dwarka. Prabhupada liked it, very opulent like that.
Especially all the ladies
wearing silk saris. Yeah. It definitely has the Dwarka feel to it when you go there. Especially when I was... It was the first big temple I went to after we had just a dinky little place in Boulder, and it was like, wow. And everyone was in robes. They were all, you know, line. We used to be in the lines, you know, chanting. And I was in big pictures of Krishna. I was like, wow, this is a big city, you know, very awesome. I remember we used to get up there and throw flowers on Prabhupada, and I think finally he stopped it because it got kind of out of hand. We were throwing too many or something. It was fun doing it. Anything else? Okay, Hare Krishna, where's Prabhupada? Where's the holy name?